You have times just sitting alone with the Lord and thanking Him for what He is doing. Do you do that often? Do I do that often? Maybe probably never enough, but do I do it often? Well, we'll see a great prayer this morning. It's called David's Prayer of Thanksgiving. This was the prayer that he gave to the Lord after he was informed that God would not allow him to build a temple for God because of his bloody hands, but that he would build a house for David forever. And we read, "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established before you. Your throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all this vision." So Nathan spoke to David. So here, David wanting to build a house for the Lord, and Nathan had told him, go ahead and do it. And then later, Nathan was told, you spoke too fast. David has bloody hands. It's not in keeping with me, my character, to have a temple or a house for me built by a man with bloody hands. But I will give David a promise that I will build him a house that will last forever. So Nathan broke this news to David. And in response to that, David gives this thanksgiving prayer to God, which is recorded for us in chapter 7, verse 18. Let me just read it to you. It goes through verse 29. And as we hear this prayer, may we just listen and relate to it as though we were in this situation, just thanking the Lord for giving us eternal life, the great, great gift He has given us. So beginning in verse 18, then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Now, what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your servant's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land, before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods? For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever." Wow. So in verse 18, going back and looking at that just a bit, then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? O Lord, you have made me a king. You took me out of the sheep cote and lifted me all the way up to be a king. You have blessed me with victories over my enemies. You've given me fame, glory, and honor. But who am I, O Lord God, that you should do this for me?" David acknowledges his humble beginnings. He acknowledges the goodness and the grace of God that has been showered upon him. Oh, what a great example for us. Exactly what we need to do as well, is it not? Verse 19, "And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God?" David is saying there's really nothing, Lord, compared to what you promised that you're going to do. Only you can show this kind of grace. Only you can show this undeserved goodness to me. Interestingly, man is always looking for the qualified, deserving people to reward, but God calls on those, calls on us who are unqualified to bestow his glory, to bestow his honor and his power, his riches upon us, upon them. God chooses the poor, the weak, upon which to bestow his grace and glory, just to confound the wise of the world. Verse 20, "Now what more can David say to you?" Oh, I like that. Here's an articulate man, the most articulate man in the scriptures in a way, and yet he doesn't have any words here. "For what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. You know what's in my heart. You know everything about me. I don't have any words, really. I don't have anything to say. You read my heart. You know how I feel. There are emotions that are so deep and so full that I can't really get words to express them. So language has, in a way, become a barrier, a hindrance. We just have to be silent and let God read our heart. So how frequently do I just sit alone with my Lord and count the blessings he's given me? Do I find myself praising him, thanking him above words? Verse 21, "For your word's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Oh Lord, you did not do it for my sake, for the fact that I was worthy, that I was deserving. I recognize that, Lord. You did it for your word's sake. You did it so it might bring glory to you. This is why you choose unlikely people like us to do your work, in order that the glory may go to God and not to us." Notice where he keeps his valuable, valuable gospel, his treasure. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, we read, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Just think, if you had an earthly treasure of a very big diamond or something, where would you keep it? You'd probably keep it in a gold box inside of a safe deposit box or something, rather than a bank. But where does God keep his glorious treasure? He puts it in us, in clay pots, earthen vessels, that the glory may go to him and not to us. Verse 22, "Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our eyes." Oh Lord, you are it. You're great. David said, "You're the only God. There is no other." God said that about himself in Isaiah 45:5, for example, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will guide you, though you may not have known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other." Verse 23, "And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land? before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever. And you, Lord, have become their God. Notice forever, forever, forever here in this prayer. God has confirmed to himself the people of Israel to be a people unto him forever. Verse 25 to 28, now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant, concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this greatness to your servant. Now, David is just like, oh, Lord, I'm just wiped out. I'm just overcome. You said you're going to build my house. I can't build the temple, but you're going to build me a house forever. Oh, Lord, what glory. Oh, Lord, glory. Verse 29, now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. So, Lord God, do what you said you're going to do. Glorify and magnify your name. What a beautiful prayer. David responds to God's promise to build him a house, to raise up from his seed the Messiah to rule over the earth. So this is a beautiful prayer of gratitude from David's heart. Question for us is, what similarities are there in our hearts regarding our gratitude to him for what he's done for us? He has given us life forever. He's given us that promise of being with him forevermore. What a beautiful, beautiful gift he has given us. May we thank him. May we thank him. Well, in summary, David wanted to do something great for God, and God did something far greater for him. And although it must have been a disappointment for him to hear that he couldn't build a house for the Lord, David did the very best thing. He went in, sat before the Lord and saying, who am I? God's promise to David that he would give David a house, a royal dynasty forever. The Messiah would come through his bloodline. David was speechless, no wonder. David, we know, was the most articulate and expressive yet here, because the same is so beautiful, so wonderful, he was speechless. He praises the Lord. If I can't build a house, I'm going to do what I can to see that it gets done. And then finally, how grateful am I, how grateful are we that God faithfully always gives us more than we ask. Oh, we can say what our God reigns, can we not? Thought that comes to mind, just how great is our God. So I just wanted to close here today and sing this familiar song, How Great Thou Art. Let's sing this together.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my song, my Savior brought to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my song, my Savior brought to me. Thank you.
when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sing, my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great a heart, how great a heart. Then sing, my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great a heart, how great the heart.
Truly, Lord, you are great. And we can all agree in saying how great thou art. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here. Thank you for this great prayer of thanksgiving. Help us to ponder on what we have witnessed and heard in our spirit, through our spirit, of giving you thanks. Help us to do that, Lord. We do thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.